This song talks all about God and creation as well. And the one that we will worship.
You're the one.
All the ladies sing the verse.
You're the one who made the heavens. You're the one who shaped the earth. You're the one who formed my heart long before my birth.
And the man on the second part.
Believe you'll always lead me.
Yes, I do.
All my days have been ordained. All your thoughts toward me are holy, full of love and grace.
All together singing.
And you are the one, you are holy. You're the one, and you are the one.
Amen. You can have a seat. Acts 17, 24 to 25 says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, as though he needed anything, since he lives and gives life, breath, and all things. Another aspect of worship we want to talk quickly about is worshiping in spirit and in truth. Many of you will know the scripture in John 4, 23 to 24 that says, but the hour is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean? In spirit and in truth. Well, before we get there, I love the word must. Now, I hate it when Michelle uses it, because it means it's probably going to be something that I don't typically want to do, but it needs to be done. You must. So there's an imperative here. Something that says, you must worship in spirit and truth. But it's not me saying that. It's not the church saying that. It's not your wife or your husband saying that. God, here's the awesome thing. God is seeking, can you believe that? God is roaming around. He is seeking people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not fooled. He's not tricked. And he's not surprised. But yet he's seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, a lot of times when we talk about worship, and whether you ask somebody the question, how do you worship? It's probably easier to ask them, well, what denomination are you? Because we all know that the church has gone through a phase of divisions, namely over how we do worship. So whether we talk about the Pentecostal worship, whether it balances more on the emotional side, whether we talk about the Baptist or Brethren that balances maybe more on the intellectual side of worship, whether we talk about the United, kind of a liturgical style of worship, or the Catholic, which is a traditional style of worship, or we talk to the Holy Rollers that maybe are animal-like in their worship. What does it really mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? Now, I'd like to say, when somebody asks me the question, how do you worship? Well, I'm a Pentecostal. Because I truly believe that God poured out his spirit to live within us on the day of Pentecost. That God has given me the power to overcome sin through his spirit living through us. I'm also a Baptist because I grew up in a Baptist church. But also because I firmly believe that a form of worship is the act of baptism. And that also the Bible, Scripture, has a huge part to play in how we worship. I'm also united because I believe in the universal church. I believe that a fellowship of believers needs to be united to come together in a corporate sense of worship. I'm also Catholic because I truly believe in the traditions that God has set before us in communion. And I believe that confession has a huge part in worship, that it has a huge part in our impact as followers, believers, I should say, in Jesus Christ. And I'm also a holy roller because I'm holy and I'm on a roll. What does it mean to worship God in spirit and truth? Have you ever grappled with that, thought about that? Because God is seeking those kinds of people to worship in spirit and truth. Well, to worship in spirit, what I could derive from some other scriptures. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are both God's. Worshiping God in spirit is worshiping the real God in a real way. Worshiping God in spirit is worshiping him with reverence, attentiveness, having the right purpose, the right object of worship. Worshiping God in spirit is not an easy thing. It doesn't contain slouching over, doesn't contain loss of attention. Worshiping God in spirit
is understanding who God is. We read in Psalm 89, it says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Our worship must show our reverence of God, the fear of God, that he is our creator and he holds our eternal destiny in our hands, in his hands. We must strive to worship him, not for our own benefit. We should not have to rush into worship or hurry to worship, because worship is something that happens when we understand who God is. And he is that all the time. And so worship happens all the time. Worshiping God in truth. Jesus says in John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so we must worship God in truth. And all I can come back to is that truth is not arbitrary. Truth is not one thing for you and another thing for you. Truth is Scripture. That we worship God according to how he desires to worship him. God has specified in the Bible an acceptable way to worship him. And it says in Matthew chapter 4, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. So if we're to worship God in truth, it means that we cannot worship anyone or anything else. Anything we worship other than God is an idol. God forbids us to make idols. Exodus chapter 20 says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You shall worship God only. We talked earlier about the I things, that we have I everything. It's very simple and easy to create idols in our lives. So we're just going to take a moment. I think prayer is a huge part of worship. We're going to take a moment for you to do some inner work, to seek and look inside yourself and say, is there anything, God, that would hinder me from worshiping you in spirit and in truth? I'm just going to play quietly in the background while you do some inner work with God. At this time, Don Lazon's going to come share, how does he worship and what does he feel God, or how he worship is a part of his life.
Wayne asked me a couple of days ago to if I could come up with a couple of sentences to, I mean, 2 hours, two sentences. But I believe that I worship God by believing, contrary to my teachings of my youth, that Jesus was the Messiah, and because he still lives, is still the Messiah. I have relatives, non-believers, who offer prayers to some distant, far-off, impersonal God. I enjoy the gift that God gave me when I was born again, his gift of grace, and I walk in grace. And because I do, I know Jesus loves me, that God wants me to talk to him. They went to great lengths to ensure that I could have a personal relationship with them. And God answers every prayer in one way or another. So for me, prayer is an opportunity to converse with our Father, the God of all the universe. Can it get any better than that? Me, a mortal? Conversation with our immortal God? And I guess it does get better than that, because I think God inspired the last verse of Amazing Grace to tell us something, that it's going to get better. I really feel comfortable when I talk with the Lord. I don't know of anybody who could possibly feel that kind of peace and contentment if they don't talk with our Father, because God's grace is truly amazing.
You and I were made to worship.
Before the day, before the light, before the world revolved around the sun, and God on high stepped down into time, the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember, you and I are made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, and you and I will see who we were meant to be. And all we are, and all we have, is all a gift from God that we receive. And brought to life, we opened up our eyes. The majesty and glory of the King. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember, you and I are made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free, you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, and you and I will see who we're meant to be. Even the rocks cry out, even the heavens shout at the sound of his holy name. So let every voice sing out, let every knee bow down, he's worthy of all our praise. You and I are made to worship, you and I, you and I, we're free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, and you and I will see You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. We're free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe. You and I will see who we were meant to be. Who we were meant to be. Who we were meant to be.
That song, full of great words. You and I are made to worship. You and I are called to love. I think Chris McDonald shared that. You and I are forgiven and free when you and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe. Then we will see that we are worshipers. And worship just doesn't happen on Sunday morning, as we know. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship should exude us every day, even in the difficult times. Because it's not in ourselves to be worshipers. God has given us the power, the story, the message. He's given us Jesus Christ. And we should be worshipers at all times. Worship is a lifestyle. Who agrees that worship is a lifestyle? Yeah. So whether you're in your car, like Chris McDonald said, or you're a child, or you're a teenager, or you're a mother, or just you, a single mother, or whether you're having difficult times at work, or you're jobless, you've lost a loved one. Worship, as difficult as it is sometimes, is a lifestyle. I'm going to ask Faye Clausen if she'll come and share. How does she worship, and what does worship mean for her in her Christian walk?
I can say amen to everything that Wayne has said, to the words of the songs that we have sung, and to what Chris has said and what Don has said. My Christian walk is directly impacted by my worship of God. There are many ways to worship. I am confident of the presence of God in my life as I worship anytime, anywhere, and any way. I especially enjoy the diversity of our worship teams here at the church. The words to the songs especially touch my heart. The messages from God that John Mackey brings to us are uplifting and soul-searching for me. During my devotions, I feel a touch from God. I recently read from Psalm 55:17. I cry out to God morning, noon, and evening, and he hears my voice. I am confident that as I walk as a Christian, God is holding my hand.
Thanks, Faye. Like Faye said, there's many ways to worship. And one part of our worship is really actually giving of ourselves, whether in surrender or the items that God has given to us. And we're going to actually take up our offering this morning in a different sort of way, in that the offering plates are up here and they're empty and they're void. They're really meaningless all by themselves. They're really not an offering to God right now, other than maybe he can sell them on Kijiji for a couple bucks. But the reality is that when we come, we offer him as a sacrifice, and hopefully it is sacrificial, that we fill these plates with, well, literally money that is to be used to further God's kingdom. But as we place that money into the offering, sometimes I'm like, oh, I can just take that back, because there's probably a lot better things that I could do with my money and give it to the church. Or I write a check for maybe half the amount because I'm going to use this other half for something else. But when we come to the reality of who God is, we would not be able to give just a little bit.
we'd be able to give sacrificially. And I know many of you have taken a hold of that total surrender Christian attitude. So I'm going to ask the ushers, they'll come forward. We're going to take up the offering, and the ushers are actually going to bring the offering right back up here as a sense and a form and an act of worship to our God. So can we do that together?
God, we just pray, God, that you would take these gifts. Not that we feel they're really admirable gifts, but they are what we have to give, and they're a sign of our total surrender to you. So, God, we give this offering as a sacrifice to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And our last section this morning is, as we close up, is the idea that we must worship. This wasn't actually a point that I had on to talk about, but it actually, as I talked about the first three things, or, you know, was in Scripture and was studying this week, I mean, the typical preacher has three points because it's easy for you to remember, but this fourth point is basically where I was at. And that worshiping God in spirit and truth, understanding worship as a response to who God is, I mean, that seems to be all like an intellectual exercise. But when it came down to it, I thought, where am I at? And God brought some scriptures. And you all know this one. It says Hebrews 10. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. When we don't worship, our Christian walk tends to be stagnant. So as an application this morning, understanding who God is creates natural worshipers who worship in spirit and truth, and they know that they must worship. And worship takes on a lot of forms. We're going to sing a song that talks all about the plan of salvation. It's one of my favorite songs. It's called That's Why We Praise Him. That's Why We Sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. Will you stand with me as we sing the song That's Why We Praise Him? I'm going to ask Rick if he'll prepare for his monologue.
Came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and might. That's why we praise him, that's why we sing, and that's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this king, 'cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything. He came to live again in us. He came to be our conquering king and friend. He came to heal, to show the lost ones his love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him, that's why we sing, and that's why we offer
sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rick's going to come, and then we'll close our service.
Hello? Oh, hey, Sam, how are you? Oh, I'm doing all right, I guess. Oh, well, thanks for your concern. Yeah, I guess I was kind of upset. Oh, you know, maybe confused is a better choice of words. I just had to leave this morning. I'm sorry if I sounded kind of rude. Well, it's the new pastor, you know? He's really doing a number on my head. I gotta tell you, he's talking about and he's putting forth ideas that I've never heard before, let alone even thought about. Yeah, I know. And then this morning he's going on and on and on about worship. I mean, what was that? I always thought worship was just those few songs that we sang at the beginning of the service, you know, the worship time. If you'd listen to him, he'd tell you that it was everything that we do that's worship. I just don't get that. And then he goes on and says that everybody's worshiping something? Come on, what is that? I mean, I work with guys who go and watch football or hockey or something every Sunday morning. They don't go anywhere near the inside of a church. Are you going to tell me that they're worshiping sports? Yeah, I did hear him say that we need to live a life of worship. But got to tell you, Sam, that just added to my confusion. Like, what does that look like? What is a life of worship? I know, but you know, Sam, my life is already full as it is. I mean, I've got the kids. I've got Sandy. We have a home life. I have my work life. I mean, we've got after-school stuff. We've got midweek programs for the kids. Yeah, I know, and you know, Sandy's parents and my parents, they're both getting up there, and we need to help them out too. And he wants me to fit worship in too? Like, he needs to give his head a shake. Oh, yeah, I know, Sam. Yeah, you know, that's probably a really good idea. Maybe I will give him a call and sit down and talk to him about it. Hey, Guy, thanks for your concern. I really, really appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Worship is everywhere. And that's where we should be worshiping, is everywhere. Because if we don't worship God, something else will find our worship. Pretty quick, too, in this day. We must worship God, people. When the church comes together with the reality of who God is and what he's done, worship will start to unfold. I can't wait to see what this year is going to bring here for Byron Community Church as we understand who God is and we just respond in worship. I can't wait to see what happens. And it starts with each of us. So challenge is to worship everywhere today. Whether that means singing songs where people don't typically sing songs in the grocery store or elsewhere. Worship. When somebody needs help, extend a hand. God will be pleased when he finds Byron Community Church as people who worship him in spirit and in truth. Our closing song this morning, and after this, we're going to be heading downstairs for our soup kitchen, soup in a bun. So after this song, I'm just going to pray for the food as well as our time together, and then we can just go straight down there and worship together down there.
this song, why don't you stand? I know you've been up and down, and this service has been a little different. Worship kind of throughout, like music throughout, and a little talking, but I hope that at the end of the day, that this song, whether you haven't come into worship at all until now, that this song resounds with your heart, because it says, all is well with my soul.
So we can sing his praises. Whatever is his way, all is well. He makes us rich and poor, that we might trust him more. Whatever is his way, all is well.
That if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us, and that you do literally hold us in your hand. And God, as we go, we praise you and thank you for the food that you provide, the shelter, the love that you give to us, the mercy, the opportunity to worship you in relationship with one another. And God, we just thank you for how big and how awesome you are,
Even though we can't imagine or comprehend, we still say that you are a big and you are an awesome. You are huge. You are loving. And we are worshipers who desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen.